For some period of time, this old man, 300 years old, had been working. Been working on a boat. And as he was working on that boat, he was working with a promise, saying that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just a few years ago, there was a weather report that said there was a storm brewing out in the Gulf Coast. It's coming. It's coming. And they tracked it. But no one could have really understood what Katrina would be like until it hit. That storm was brewing. That storm was coming. Genesis chapter 7, they had taught. God had said to Noah, "Noah, the storm's coming. It's coming." But no one could have imagined, no one could have dreamed what it would have been like. But what we understand inside of this is the storm. I was reading last night where Ruth Graham, it said that she loved the storms. She would go and look out the window in their cabin up in the hills, and she would see the lightning flashing and the storms were coming. We recognize the storms, that God is in charge. In Psalm 107, verse 29, the Scripture says, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." God's in charge. The storms. The storms. Remember that time that the Lord Jesus was asleep on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden the winds and the rain and the waves started coming up? The disciples became so afraid, they said, "Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that we're about to perish?" And so, the storms. The storms. Each one of us are either approaching a storm, in a storm, or just come through a storm. And so when we begin to talk about this morning, we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 7, and we're going to be talking about the great flood, but I want to give to you the perfect storm. Is it possible? Have y'all seen the movie The Perfect Storm? It ended in a... I don't like watching movies that end down. I like when you get through, you know, you're not wiping your nose. You know, I like movies that make you feel good. They come out on top. But somehow, in The Perfect Storm, these men gave the ultimate. And we're going to be looking at a perfect storm, and we're going to look at two storms. Probably the greatest. There's only one storm that's going to be greater than what we're about to look at. And that's going to be the final storm. First storm, when God destroys the world by water. The second storm, when God destroys the works of Satan by the birth of a baby. The last storm, and we're not going to look at that storm this morning, and that is going to be when God destroys the world so as by fire. Three perfect storms. So pick it up with me as we just travel with your Scripture this morning. We're going to be looking and we're going to be kind of coasting back and forth. And we're starting with Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" So what is he telling? I have seen. Oh, the storm. 120 years, right? Huge ark, right? Food galore that will last probably a year, right? All the animals. And what do animals do? All the cleaning of the stalls, okay? I mean, they were all inside of that. What would it have been like? And it's all ready until finally that day, 120, that day he's been looking for. A flashback, going back to high school days. All of a sudden, you work 12 or 13 years to get there. And all of a sudden, you finally reach that point. You've been counting those days down. I can't wait. One day, Daddy, only... And you know, Daddy, I've only got 50 more days. And my dad said to me, he said, son, you're counting them one way, and I'm counting them the other. Didn't really understand that till I had kids of my own. And I can imagine what it was like for all of a sudden, now Noah says, 120, here we go, guys, it's time now. And I wonder what the father was doing. Was he counting it back the other way? For he was about to see everything that he created that breathed die, with exception of just those that were on board the ark. He was counting it down. So all of a sudden, what we see right here, an invitation of the lifetime, he says, now come. You are righteous before me. Come into the ark. We're ready to go. And this is the point of entrance. We're ready to go. Guys, it is time. But let me fast forward you to the second perfect storm. In the second perfect storm, we're going to see there in Bethlehem, reference point, the Lord Jesus Christ. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. So what are we looking at? All of a sudden now, there's that entrance point. Here's the invitation coming. Bethlehem, you're going to be the spot. You're the place right there, Bethlehem. Oh, this little town. We will sing that song probably next Sunday, one of the songs. It'll be like that next Sunday. And by the way, Brother Michael asked us all to wear either red or green. Okay, is that a poke for the commercial? Okay, he wants us to look the part, okay? Red or green, if you can next week, or whatever else. Or both, yeah. Okay, come, we're going to celebrate. Next Christmas will be our Christmas, Christmas message. And we're going to be looking at it. We're going to be singing the songs of old. We're going to be singing the great hymns, the blessings, like Silent Night. Those great hymns. All of a sudden, this little quiet town is going to be where the storm, the entry point of that major storm. Verse 2 says, and ye shall take with you seven of each, of every clean animal, a male and his female. Two of animals that are clean, a male and a female. Also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth. Isn't that pretty neat? God's looking out after things. An invitation, though, is for the new beginning. Take two. Take two. Aren't you glad it wasn't two Steves? Take two of every kind of the species, so that there might be the multiplication factors, and all of a sudden, so that they would replenish the earth. The new beginning. New beginning. A point of beginning. Do you need a point of beginning? What about you as an individual? Are there times in your life in which you've hit the wall and you say, God, I need a point of beginning. All of a sudden, you're in the midst of the storm. Lord, please help us. We need to come out of the storm. Lord God, I need you. You're in the midst of the storm. You're approaching it. An invitation. An invitation. Bring up every kind. And so a new beginning. But in order for this new beginning to occur, there's going to have to be some terrible things that happen. There's going to have to be death. Wholesale death before this new beginning is going to occur. And so therefore we see as it's beginning to build up here, we're going to see that the prophets are going to foretell about the coming of the Christ. We're going to see that Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to experience the birth of John the Baptist. We're going to see that Joseph and Mary, that they're going to experience the birth of Christ who came forth from the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see the wise men speak of Christ the King as they converge, as we hear, as we understand the children of Bethlehem were executed. Wait a minute, I didn't quite understand that. An invitation for a new beginning means that there's going to be death surrounding it. That don't seem right, does it? Doesn't seem right. God wanted to have a new beginning, so what did He do? He killed every man, woman, boy, and girl, and all the animals. Doesn't seem right, does it? And then we see the birth of Christ there in Bethlehem. And we see all the babies 2 years old and under are killed by Herod. That don't seem right. Something just doesn't compute. But what came out of Bethlehem? A new beginning. What came out of Bethlehem? A new life. Let's read a scripture. And the scripture is found in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And then again in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. So what's happening? Have you captured it? Are you with me? Now, all of a sudden, Bethlehem, which is going to be this special place, the child's going to be born, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ who shall save his people from their sin. But death is going to have to occur surrounding this great point of beginning. Wait a minute. Discover something right here. If you're going to have a new beginning in your life, something's got to die. Wait a minute. You mean a child? A family member? A neighbor? No, that's not what I mean. If you're going to have a new beginning, you've got to die. Die? Yeah, exactly. See, the new beginning, when a seed dies, it comes to life. When you die, then you can live. So you mean surrounding a new beginning, there's got to be death? Yes, and the death is that which is inside of you. We must die to self to be alive to God. But wait a minute, I don't want to go there. That costs too much. That's too pricey. Jesus said, he that's not willing to take up his cross and follow me is not willing of me. You mean if I'm really going to understand a new beginning, that means there's got to be some drastic changes in my life? Absolutely. Drastic. I don't think of anything else that's more drastic than death. It's got to be there. It's got to happen. And so therefore, all of a sudden he says, look, I want you to bring all of these animals as a new species because there's going to be life. And then we introduce the perfect storm coming into focus right here in verse 4. For he says, for after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. God created it, and God can do what? Destroy it. Exactly. And the purpose behind this is so that there might be life. The perfect storm is going to be 40 days of rain, the perfect storm. But there was also 7 days of grace before the storm came. By the way, remember I told you about 3 storms? Storm number 1, the day of Noah. Storm number 2, the birth of Christ. Storm number 3, the final day. The coming of the Lord Jesus, okay? That's storm number 3. In storm number 3, in 3 perfect storms, in storm number 3, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. After the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us, the believers, out of this earth, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation before the millennium. Now we see 7 years or 7 days are occurring there with Noah and his family on the earth before the final reign of destruction. 7. Perfect number. 40. Complete. It's going to be 40 days of rain that's happening right inside of here. So we're seeing that God is getting things ready. Are you ready? The storm's coming. Satan's going to be destroyed, but there's going to have to be death for that new beginning. I'd like for you to look as we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And this perfect storm, we deal with the cross. In Mark 8:31, the scripture says, and he began to teach them that the Son of God must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So in the introduction in this perfect storm, all of a sudden we recognize there's a cross. Nobody would have ever dreamed that. But there it is. There's a cross now that is before us. As he said, get ready. He's about to destroy all those living things. Are you with me now? Don't let me confuse you. You know where we are? In storm number one, he says, get ready. Here we go. In storm number one, he says, in 7 days, the water's going to start. Are you with me? And then all of a sudden, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we're seeing the second perfect storm. And Jesus said that he's going to come and he's going to be talked about, live. He's going to be killed and then he's going to rise from the dead. That's the perfect storm. We see it. We recognize the cross. Number 5, verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded. Because what is this? Faith is viewed in obedience. If we're going to be a part of that perfect storm, if we're going to be the one who walks out into the new earth, then we are going to obey. Faith in action is obedience unto the Lord. If we do not obey the Lord, then we just as well get ready for the thunders and lightning and rain. Because the storm is going to take you under. If you're going to be in the ark, if you're going to rise above the storm, above the death and destruction, you've got to deal with that element of faith. And faith is viewed as obedience, and faith is viewed as submission. Boy, we don't like that, do we, young people? Austin, you don't like that either, do you, buddy? Yeah, that's what I thought. You don't like that in dealing with that, in being obeying and submission. We don't like to come underneath the authority of others. But you know what? In the perfect storm, that's what Noah did. He did all that the Lord commanded. Can you see that right now? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. All of a sudden we begin to recognize this is an intentional act of faith. Faith is observed by obeying God. Let me put you on a 1 to 10 scale right now. Are you obeying God? Okay, here we go. 1 to 10. Where do you fall in that? 1 to 10. 8. Good. Boy, somebody living right. Yeah. 1 to 10 scale. Well, you don't have to speak out loud right now. I'm not going to call on you yet. But just thinking about it. And that 1 to 10 scale, all of a sudden faith comes. Now, when we began to hear what was the scale of the Lord Jesus? He was a 10. In fact, he was a perfect 10. Look at the point of observation right here. That is, Jesus' work was fulfilled. Look in John 17, verse 4. The scripture says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That's the Lord Jesus. He finished the work. It's right there. Okay, now, have you finished your work? Not yet. Are you moving toward it? Is it a part of your life? All of a sudden that strength is coming in there. Jesus said, I finished my work. And that's what we want to see happening right here. Because in verses 6 through 12, we're going to take an interview with some eyewitnesses of what was happening right there. And I'd just like to read that for you. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And of the clean animals and of the animals that are unclean and of birds and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, and on that day all the fountains of the deep were broken up. And the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, can you see this eyewitness said? The waters of the deep. Who's in charge of that? God is. Absolutely. He broke it loose. They'd never seen rain before. When it started falling out of the sky, the people began to say, what is this? God sent the rain from above, and the water from below. Insomuch that when we see this eyewitness, we look out and say, well, what's really happening right here? What's happening? God's preparing this world for a new life. God's preparing this world for a new beginning. And how does He do this? They're closed up. The rain begins. Fast forward. We've already seen that the Lord Jesus said, now I have finished my work. And what did He do? He called a group of guys together. And they met in this place called the upper room. And He said to them, take ye, this is my body that was broken for you. And drink this drink. This is my blood that was shed for you. Do this. And as often as you do this, He says, remember me. And that's what we're going to be doing on December the 26th. He said, as often as you do this, He said, remember me. We call it the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and He blessed it. And He broke it and He gave to the other disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new cup of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Amazing. As we take this interview, God's dealing with sin in the life of the Lord Jesus. Amazing. In the first perfect storm, the reason why the people died all over the earth was sin. And the reason why Jesus died on the cross was to pay for our sin. And when He comes back in the second coming, He is going to destroy all unwickedness and all sin in the perfect storm. But God's not through. There's an intervention from God. In verse 13, the Scripture says, and on the very same day that Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three sons that were with him, entered the ark, they and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all the flesh in which the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them. And note these words, and the Lord shut the door. You see, in a new beginning, there will always be an intervention of God. Always. You'll never have a new beginning without an intervention from God. He knew the old. He knew what lied in front of them. And in the midst of this, God shut the door. He shut the door that no one can open, and He opens doors that no one can shut. But in the light of this, He shut the door. And the floodwaters came. An intervention by God. But what's the point of closure in the second storm in John 19:30? When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Did you capture that? The Lord's Supper. Now the cross. An intervention by God. When Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins, it was the payment for all sin. In the first storm, the death of all living things was the payment for sin. When Jesus died, He paid for our sins. And the flood began to flow. And truly, the cross is an intervention by God. Let's look, though, as we conclude this. We pick it up in verse 17. Now the flood waters were on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. Hold on a minute. What just happened? The flood waters of destruction came. But where were the believers? Where were the righteous people? In the ark. Isn't that great? All of the waters that fell from the heaven, that came from the earth, the sign of destruction, All of their problems were where? Below them. You see, when you have a new beginning, what happens? It doesn't matter how much of the destruction is around you, you're going to rise above it. You will rise above it. You will rise above. See, that's where that really begins to capture the thought mind, because what we have here is an intentional mass grave. And the road to redemption is passed over the ways of destruction. And all that they feared was below them. Y'all remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter, I liked that day in which he came out. There was a big storm and Jesus come walking across the water. And all of a sudden, Simon Peter, this old strong looking man, you know what he said to his buddies? It's a ghost! It's a ghost! That's what they were trembling in their shoes. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, hey, it's me, don't be afraid. Simon Peter, all of a sudden, he said, look, if it's really you, say, come. Okay, Simon, come on, buddy. Man, he jumped overboard, started walking on top of all that they were afraid of. And as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on top of all that he was afraid of. You see, death was beneath. He was walking on top. When you have a new beginning with God, you walk on top. As long as you got your eyes focused. But if you take your eyes off the Christ, what happens? You're going to sink into the problems of the things that you feared most. They were in the ark, and they were saved. It was a new beginning. They were lifted up. They floated on top. And all of a sudden, they recognized, this is all right. The solitude of the watery grave was there. And that carries us to the end of the second storm. The solitude of Christ. He was there in a tomb. It was cold. It was dark. It was clammy. The world said, it's all over with. They said that our storm has overcome us. The disciples said, the one that we believed was going to deliver us, he's dead. He's in the tomb. But on the third day, I don't know how it happened. This way I'd like to think it happened. I think that Satan and all of the demons of hell were watching that and said, gotcha. Gotcha. So all of a sudden, one of those demons, high-ranking demons, said, hey, boss, there's a toe moving. Hey, boss, there's a foot moving. Hey, boss, the legs start moving and the demons begin to cry out, hold him down, boys, hold him down. And all the demons of hell and Satan himself couldn't hold him down. And he rose from the dead. Storm was over, folks. He came out. And he's alive and living today. He's here. He's here. The first storm ended with a new beginning. Chapter 8 says, they opened the door and they walked out on the dry earth at the command of the Lord. The second storm ended with an empty tomb, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and He is now living at the right hand of God the Father. And He says to us today, come on out, boys. We've got a new beginning. And so therefore, in the course of this journey, if you'd like to have a new beginning, remember it's not easy. Remember there must be death. Remember there is life. Remember, focus on Christ. Remember, rise above the problems and keep your eyes on Him, and you'll not sink down below into the worries of life. Stay focused, rise above. Enjoy the new beginning, because there's a third storm coming. And I'm very afraid that we're approaching that quickly. and we don't know what's going to occur leading up to that 7 years, but we know there's the rumbling of the horses. And the third storm is approaching. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, thank You that You have given to us a new beginning. And Father, there's many areas in our lives that we need to deal with. Father, we need to deal with how we treat people in the marketplace. Father, we need to deal with how we treat people in the home. Father, we need to rise above those worries and concerns that are only fleshly and temporal. Help us to rise above into the victory of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless now Your people. Help us to enjoy the new beginning, but help us to prepare for the next storm that's coming. Lord, we love You. Speak to the heart of Your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, are you in a storm? You can rise above. This morning, some have sunk down like Simon Peter. And Simon Peter cried out, "Help me, Jesus!" And he did. And then Simon could walk back on top of his problems, hand in hand with Jesus. Today, do you need to be walking hand in hand with Jesus? He will. If you call out to Him, He will. It all begins, though, with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship with Him? Have you entered the ark of His security so that you can rise above the troubles of the day? If you haven't received Christ, I'd like to talk with you. I'd like to pray with you. Just come on down and say, "Brother Robert, let's talk." We'll do that. What's your need today? The prayer altars are going to be open. The storms are brewing. You can have help. You can have a new beginning. But remember, it comes at a great cost. He will give you that new beginning, and it will start today. Let's stand together and sing.